Exodus chapter 16 and the verse 1. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, At even, then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt. And in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we, that ye murmur against us? And Moses said, This shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full. For that the Lord heareth your murmurings, which ye murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. And Moses spake unto Aaron, Say unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, Come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, At even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoar frost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, It is manna. For they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more, some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, Let no man leave of it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them. We'll end our reading there now at the verse 20, and we trust the Lord will bless each and every one of us today, that reading from his own precious word. Let's bow together in a word of prayer as we turn to the word today. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, that we each one of us would hear thy speaking voice. May there be a word for us, Lord, to help us and to strengthen us. We thank thee, Lord, as we have sung just now, for the resources that there is in our God and our Saviour. So that, Lord, we need not be vanquished or cast down or discouraged, and we are at times. But we thank thee, Lord, that there's lifting up, and we praise thee for the power of thy Holy Spirit. And we thank thee, Lord, for all the promises that the Lord has given to us to help us and sustain us. We know, Lord, that there is a fierce enemy, a strong enemy, but we thank thee that Satan to Jesus must bow. And we praise thee, Lord, for that word that reminds us that this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So bless the word of God to us, Lord, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let us turn together for a few moments today here in this passage that we've just read together here in Exodus in the chapter 16. We're reminded in this passage of Scripture here many times over that the Lord heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. And of course, not just in this passage, but right throughout Scripture. We are reminded time and time again that God is acquainted with all our ways, all our words, and all our thoughts, and with all our actions. That he sees everything. And even that word upon our tongue, he knows even afar off. And how that should help us and encourage us each and every day for to walk with the Lord, as we sung today, when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, and to walk in his fear, and to walk in his reverence, knowing that all things are open and naked unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Now, though the people here murmured against the Lord and against Moses and Aaron, yet the Lord in his mercy did not cast off his people. He was merciful to them, and in his grace he met their need. And so we read here in the verse 8 in this portion of Scripture, and Moses said, this shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, for that the Lord heareth your murmurings which ye murmur against him. It is a good thing, isn't it, that the Lord doesn't cast us off or abandon us for our failures and for our sins, but that he is ever long-suffering and gracious toward us, toward his people. And so I trust perhaps there's somebody in the meeting today, and it may be that you have gone through a difficult time and you feel something of your sin and failures, as we all do. But nevertheless, keep this in mind, dear Christian, today, that God is gracious and long-suffering, does not cast off his people. He does chastise us, and sometimes he has to lay the rod upon us, but it's all for our good, and it's all for our help, that we might go on with him. How long-suffering and gracious God is. That is in spite of ourselves. Now, the Lord was going to supply the needs of his people here in a most miraculous and in a most wonderful way. And in this portion of Scripture here, of course, we're brought face to face with the supernatural work of the Lord, the mighty work of God. We read there in the verse 16 in this portion, this is the thing which the Lord hath commanded, gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons, take ye every man for them which are in his tents. Bread was going to be supplied. And the Lord in his providence and in his sovereignty was going to cause these quails, these small feathered fowl, for to come into the camp. And he would supply the needs of his people. This was, of course, a supernatural work, the work of God. And if there was ever a day when we need to keep this thought before our minds and before our hearts. It is the supernatural power of God. There is a power above that of earth, isn't there? We hear plenty today, we hear it all the time, about the power of man, what man can do, and his authority, and what he is able to bring to pass, and so on like that. But we need to lift up our eyes. We need to lift up our hearts continually and to realize that there is the supernatural power of the Almighty God above that of earth and of men. And that will encourage us. There's more to life than this earth. There's more to life than the so-called wisdom of men and the authority of men and the power of men. There is the power of God, that Almighty power. And of course, Daniel reminds us in his prophecy there in chapter 4 and in the chapter 5 of Daniel that the Lord is sovereign, that he reigns among the nations of this world. He can set up one and he can put down the other. So we are reminded of that very truth in this passage of Scripture. Indeed, not only here, right throughout the Bible, the power of God, the authority of the Almighty. And ever let us keep it close to our own hearts and close to our own minds. It will help us. It will sustain us and it will keep us at all times. We are, after all, to take our eyes off a man and to have our eyes firmly set upon the Lord. Now, as many perhaps as 2 million souls here were to be fed, the people of Israel that had come out of Egypt, we read in Numbers chapter 1 that as many as 600,000 men were ready and fit for to go to war. A lot of mouths to be fed. A lot of people to be sustained. And many days stretched out before them. And of course, this need was supplied. Perhaps as much as 1 million tons of manna was gathered annually by Israel. That's a lot of bread. 1 million tons of manna. And this continued, of course, for the space of 40 years. Oh, how great is our God and his resources. And with him, nothing shall be impossible. And perhaps we get ourselves very often into difficulty. And we get ourselves into problems. Because we're so limited in our vision of God. And our thoughts of him can be very small. And our thoughts of him can be very stinted. But look what he done for Israel here. How he sustained them and how he kept them. They were surrounded by enemies. And we would have to say from the human point of view that everything was against them. Everything was set against them. The odds were against this people, the people of Israel. How would they be all fed? How would they be all kept and sustained? But of course, the Lord fulfilled his promise and he undertook for them. But we see here, first of all, that we are to trust God to supply our needs in the face of great challenges. In the face of great challenges, we are to trust him no matter how difficult the times, no matter how straitened our circumstances might be, no matter how great the challenges are, we are to trust God. We are to trust the Lord. Trust in him, ye saints, forever. And our trust is to be in him. And of course, it must ever lead us, when we look at a passage like this, it should ever lead us how we should admire the Lord. How we should admire him. Everything is admired today, isn't it, in this world of ours. Men are admired, and their resources are admired, their abilities are admired, and great emphasis put up, as I say, upon what men can do. But, oh Christian, how we ought to admire the Almighty God. Doesn't the Scripture remind the Apostle Paul, remind us concerning the esteem of God, how we ought to highly, or the psalmist rather, how we ought to highly esteem the Almighty God. to think very highly of him, to think great thoughts of the Lord, excellent thoughts, the very highest, because the Lord is able to do great things for us. And we are reminded also, of course, that his arm is not shortened, that it cannot save. God's arm is not shortened. Every one of us in the meeting today, no matter what age group we're in, we all have to admit that we're waxing weaker. It is just a very natural thing with the body, isn't it? The body is getting weaker. Our faculties are getting slower and they're getting more frail. This is the way with human nature. And the hymn writer got it right when he said, "Change and decay and all around I see, but thou who changest not abide with me." How we ought to admire the workings of God, and the authority of the Lord, and the power of God, that he could take on all of these people that he had brought out. He didn't abandon them. And there they are in a now rebellious mood, murmuring against Aaron, and they're murmuring against Moses. They're thinking about the flesh pots back in Egypt. My, what short memories they had. They're thinking about the leeks and the onions and all that were feasting on there. But they're not thinking about the bondage. They have forgotten about the sore trials that they had to pass through. They're forgetting about all the difficulties and all the hardships and everything else. They're forgetting about the whip and the lash. Oh, how soon we can forget. How soon we can forget the goodness and the mercy of the Lord. How soon we forget. May the Lord ever help us to keep these blessings and mercies ever, as it were, in mind. And how we should admire and exalt the Almighty God. And dear Christian, when we come to the house of God, when we come to worship as well, we come to worship. Is this not part of our worship? That in our own hearts, in our own minds, as it were, in our own souls, that we admire him in the singing of the hymns and the psalms, and that we highly exalt the Lord within our own lives. How very often we can come and we're thinking our minds and our thoughts are all over the place. What we have to do tomorrow. Business that we have to see to. This has to be done and the other has to be done. And soon our thoughts are all adrift. We may be looking at the scripture. We may be looking at the hymns. But our minds and our hearts can be miles away. So far away. But one of the great elements, surely, and one of the great thoughts in our worship is that we're set, our minds and our hearts are set upon him. We highly esteem him. Yes, his arm is not shortened and it cannot save. And Israel here proved that. I wonder today in the meeting here in this service, are you saved? Have you come to faith in Christ yet? You might think, well, I feel the coldness of my heart and I feel it's very hard and has been for some time. Is there any hope for me? What can I do? I'm well acquainted with the gospel and I've heard the word of God, but as yet I am not saved. And there the days and the weeks and the years are passing by. But his arm is not shortened that it cannot save. And God is able to save you. Deliver you from sin. Give you victory. Bring you into that large place, as it were. Enlarge your heart. Dear soul, do not delay. Believe on him immediately. The Lord Jesus Christ, he died. He rose again from the dead. He lives today. He's at the right hand of the Father. And he's able to change your heart. He's able to save you. Give you a new heart and give you a new life. But we look here first of all at the Lord's promise here to his people. Verses 4 and 12. He says here in the verse 4, "Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day." And we saw it here in the verse 12 as well. It says, "I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, at even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread. This is what God was going to do for his people. In spite, as I say, of the coldness of their hearts, and in spite of their backslidings and their complaints and everything else, this is what God was going to do for his people. This is the promise that was set out before them. And isn't it true that the child of God, every Christian, how do we go through life? How can we go through life on this, what we call, is often referred to as our pilgrim journey here below? How are we going to go through it? How can we go through it successfully and with victory, as it were? How can we get to the end of our pilgrim journey? If we're dependent upon our feelings, I'm afraid we're going to be very often disappointed. We all know that today. Our feelings can fluctuate, can't they? One day they're up and you feel you're on top of the mountain. And the next day your feelings, well, they're rock bottom. We have many disappointments. We're disappointed with ourselves, and we can be disappointed with other people as well. How are we going to finish our course, as it were? Well, we go through life, don't we? And we live on the promises. We live on the promises. Leaning on the promises of Christ, my Savior. We're bound to him, and we claim the promises. It is the word and faith. The word of the promises of God. That's the thing. We must come back time and time again. As Mr. Spurgeon said on one occasion, we must come back to the Lord with his word and with his promises and hold them up, as it were, before the Lord and say, this is what the Lord has said. We bring them back to God and we say, Lord, this is your word and this is what you have given to me. This is thus and thus saith the Lord. Bring his word back to him. Has God given you a promise just recently? A word that really stands out in a time perhaps of crisis and in a time of difficulty. And it may be that perhaps you've let it slip, as we all do, and you have forgotten about it to some extent. Dear Christian, today, take up the promise. Bring it back to God. We bring it reverently and we bring it to him. We say, now, Lord, do as thou hast said. Do as you have said. This is the word. This is the word. This is how we get through life. The word and faith. How precious faith is. And we quoted that hymn a moment ago, standing on the promises of Christ our King. They cannot fail. They can't fail. There'll be many failures in this life and in this world. We see failures everywhere, continually. And I suppose they're going to get worse. But there's one thing certain today as we look at this passage of Scripture here concerning the word that the Lord gave here to Moses and to Aaron. He says, I will rain bread from heaven. Oh, the I wills of the Almighty God. The I wills of God. When God says a thing, he will do it. And it doesn't matter who's against him. It doesn't matter about all the odds, as we would call them, in the world that is stacked against the word and against the people of God and against the gospel and against the church of Jesus Christ and even the devil and all the forces of hell. And they're all working, as it were. It is a matter of darkness against light and how they seek to undermine the things of God. But we have to come back, as I say, and just cast ourselves down on the promises. God says, I will rain down this bread from heaven. He was going to send the quails, these feathered fowl. How far they had to come, they could have wandered anywhere. But they came into the very camp. They could have overflew the camp. They could have gone miles and miles in any direction. But they came to the very place, as God had said. As God had said. Oh, we ask ourselves at times, we ask ourselves, why has this happened? And we look for explanations. And we can get ourselves into all sorts of difficulties. You remember what Job, when he thought to question God? You remember, we have it there in that passage in Job. In Job chapter 40, verses 1 to 5. When he thought he was going to contend with God, as it were, and investigate God. So we have it in Job chapter 40 and verse 1. Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? He that reproveth God, let him answer it. Then Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay mine hand upon my mouth. Oh, what a difference. You see, don't we see it everywhere in Scripture? That when we come into contact with God, when we are brought into the presence of God, when we think we know more than the Lord, when we come looking for, or even with accusations concerning God, we have to say, like Job, brethren, when we come into the presence of God, we have to admit, each and every one of us, no matter who we are, we have to admit that at best we are vile. That's what Job thought. This mighty man of God, none like him anywhere, fearing the Lord, a man whose heart was filled with love to God, seeking to go on with God, but in the light of the Almighty, in the presence of God, he says, behold, I am vile. Behold, I am vile. And dear friends, there's not too much to any of us apart from the grace of God. There's nothing to us apart from the grace of God. We're dust, we're ashes, we're flesh, and we're nothing apart from God. And we have nothing apart from him. And we're exhorted time and time again over in Scripture. This word comes to us, hundreds of times, how we ought to walk humbly with our God. To walk humbly with him. For God resisteth the proud and gives grace to the humble. And we have that great word there too given to us in the book of Isaiah. In the book of Isaiah and in the chapter 55, verses 8 and 9. Isaiah 55 and verses 8 and 9. He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And here's Israel. And we can't be too critical of them, because we weren't there in the midst of them. What would we have been like if we had been planted back then? And this journey is before us. And there's no food. There's nothing. They have left Egypt. Perhaps as many as 2 million of them. I wonder how it would impact upon us. Oh, but we must always come back, as I say, and lay the word before God and plead with the Lord. He is able. God is able. And he's well able to increase us. He's well able to bless us. He's well able to save and to do great things among us. The Lord says, I will. I will heal. I will bring down this manna. And I will meet the needs of the hunger of this people. Brethren, today, how we ought to value saving faith. What a precious gift it is from God. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Saving faith. Has every man got faith today? We know the answer to that, no. What a precious jewel. What a great gift. Faith in God. Saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not every man has it. Not every man has it. Perhaps even within our own family circles and our neighbours. Out around Lurgan today and down in Fermanagh, not every man has been reconciled to God. How wonderful to have saving faith. To have confidence and trust in Him. Ah, faith says, well, I do not understand, but I know that God is my heavenly Father, that He's all wise, that He loves me, and that I am in Christ. You see the Lord's faithfulness, as we've already mentioned, verses 13 and 15, hear what happened. And it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp. And in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And in the verse 15, and when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, not knowing what it was, it is manna. For they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. And in Psalm 78, we read these words that they did eat angels' food. He sent them meat to the full. He sent them meat to the full. Critical situation. A large congregation of people. What was going to happen to them? What did the future hold? But next morning this manna appeared on the ground, and God prepared. Somebody prayed in the prayer meeting this morning. One of our brethren prayed in the prayer meeting before the service. He mentioned in his prayer a table in the wilderness. A table in the wilderness. And here God set a table in the wilderness. But our time is almost gone. This man, of course, points us to Christ, doesn't it? It points us to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have here this well-known passage that we're familiar with, I'm sure. In John's Gospel, chapter 6, and the verse 48. He says, I am the bread of life. Your fathers that eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. And they wonderful words, dear Christian. Not die. What does the world fear today? What's its dread? What do people think about, whether they care to admit it or not? It's their latter end and it's death. But if you're saved today by the grace of God, and that work of regeneration has taken place in your heart, the body will die, but your soul, your spirit will never die. And when you're laid in the ground and covered over, that's not the end. Praise God, for the child of God is but the beginning. Never die. Christ is, of course, the manna. He is the manna. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. Not die. As we close our service today, there's something very needful for you and for me to do each and every day. You say to me, what is it? We need to daily feed upon the manna, upon Christ. Do we open our Bibles every day, read a portion, meditate upon it, a time of prayer? We can talk about standing on the fundamentals. We can stand upon them all we like. But I tell you this. Standing on the fundamentals, the bare fundamentals. And we don't disparage them in one way, the fundamentals of the faith. But I tell you this, we'll miss out. If like Israel, we don't feed every day upon the manna. Christ is that bread come down from heaven. Dear Christian, today, don't neglect it. This is your strength. This is your very sustenance. This is your very joy. This is your very gladness. Feeding upon Christ. And if we don't do so, we'll go back. Not enough to open the Word on the Lord's Day and forget about the whole thing from week to week. A lot of pressures. A lot of time on other things. Yes, there's commitments coming left, right, and center. But the hymn writer said, take time to be holy and speak oft with thy Lord. Abide in him always. Abide in him always. Feed every day upon the Word and upon faith and upon the bread of life.